Welcome to the Fusion Podcast. We're currently going through a series called God Is. In this series, we discover who God is and why that matters. Here's this week's message from Brad Strara.
I hope you guys are excited for today. Why don't you turn to your neighbor, give them a high five, give them a smile, tell them how good looking they are. Except if it's a girl next to you, that could be quite awkward. Don't do that. If you're here for the first time today, I want to welcome you. If you're a visitor here, I want to say welcome to Fusion. It's so good to have you, and you have arrived on the right week. All right, we are starting our new series, and it's our series which is called God Is. It's a four-week series about who God is. Imagine that. All right, I want you guys to do me a favor. Say God Is.
God Is.
Okay, now say it with a bit of swag. Say God Is.
God Is.
God Is. All right, that's very cool. We want to do a series where we just talk about who God is. And I'll tell you why in a moment. About 3 years ago, I arrived at this church, all right? And I came from a Christian home. I was really stoked with what I knew about God. And I thought I was the biggest thing since sliced bread. Just saying. Does anyone know anyone like that? Biggest thing? They think they're the biggest thing since sliced bread. In fact, I thought I was so slick, I thought I could slide uphill. Okay? I was like, I'm so slick, I can slide uphill, all right? But I came here thinking that I knew all these things, and I thought I really knew who God was. I was like, well, God is loving, God is kind, you know, God is generous, He's merciful, He sent His Son, He died for me, I'm saved, my life is awesome. And anyways, I came to this church, and I still remember going to a lecture where someone spoke about a 10-part talk on who God is. And I still remember, I walked away from those talks, and my mind was blown. Go, that was, okay, my mind was blown, but in the completely good way. The way that I saw my life was different. The way that I saw who God was 100% completely different. It changed the way that I started acting, because now I realized exactly who, and I didn't even get quite the bit of it, but I started figuring out who God was. Can I say this to you guys last week, that if you don't know who God is, you will never truly know who you are. Say that's good. If you do not know who God is, you will never truly know who you are. Right, we did a series called How Not to Become a Zombie, and that was crazy. I really enjoyed that. Did you guys enjoy that? Right, that was a lot of fun. I had a good time. Here's the thing though, during How Not to Become a Zombie, we said you need to live a life that is worth living. Okay, we said that God has destined you for great things, and no matter what kind of life you've led, no matter what you've done in your past, God can take the ordinary and make it extraordinary. So we were talking about what God can do through us. And for this series, what we want to do is we want to change our focus and not say what only can God do through us, but we just wanted to take our gaze up and say, let's just completely 100% focus on who God is. Because I believe when that happens, your life starts to change. I believe that, I said this to a couple of friends the other day, I said, I believe if youth truly knew who God was, their schools will be different. Anyone agree with me? If youth truly knew who God was, there will be revival, there will be revolutions, because they understand that there is something that is in them that is completely greater than something they have ever known before. In the Bible, it says that Jesus, the hope of glory, is in us. And if we fully understand how big God is and how amazing God is, the second you understand who is in you, everything about you starts to change. Everything about you is different as you understand God's majesty and God's magnificence and exactly how big and powerful the God is that is in you. If there was one topic I could speak about for the rest of my life, it would be this. Who is God? What does that mean? And what can He do through us? And the funny thing is, I felt a bit shameful calling this series God Is, because I figured I could never truly tell you who God actually is. Because in every one of the things that He is, He's infinite in them. If I started talking to you about God's love now, and I carried on till the day that I die, I would not hit the iceberg of who God is, because He is infinitely loving, and it would require something infinite to infinitely talk about that thing to actually describe that thing correctly.
Boom. Boom.
So this series, we're going to talk about four things that God is. That's it. Are they the best things? No. They're just four things. And it's my hope and my dream that in telling you these four things, it will take you to a place where you want to go buy a book or buy something that could tell you more about God's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of attributes. If I could preach one thing for the rest of my life, it will be this, who God is. Because the second you understand that, everything inside of you should change. When we're trying to describe God, it's like an ant looking up a microscope, trying to study the scientist. That's what it's like. Ant looking up the microscope saying, well, I see you've got quite a big eye. That's kind of cool. You're wearing white. That's what it's like us trying to study God. It's so impossible, yet God has revealed himself to us. A.W. Tozer said this, what comes to mind when you think of God is the single most important thing about you. Okay? So say God. Say God. The first thing that comes to mind when I say God is the most important thing about you. It's pretty cool. So if I say God, if you think strong, magnificent, caring, loving, he knows where I'm at, he desires, if you think those things, then those are the single most important things about you. If I say God and you think uncaring, unloving, very small, doesn't care about where I'm at, doesn't care about where my circumstances, I'm telling you that is the single most important thing about you. And based on the view that you have of God, I believe will shape the life that you lead. Because if you think God is small and God just wants to whip you every time you make a mistake, you're not exactly going to have the most amount of faith in that God, are you? You're not exactly going to take the most amount of risks, are you? You're not exactly going to obey him, are you? But if you know who he truly is, everything changes. Okay, that's my intro. That's why we're doing this series. Is that okay? Turn to your friend and say, you better still be with him. You guys better still be with me. Okay, you guys are quiet tonight. I don't know why. I don't like it when you guys are quiet. So on the count of three, we're going to do this again. You're going to say, amen, preach it. You need to start responding when God starts speaking. Not that I'm God, but this is what he's given to me. So here we go. I want you guys to scream something out. I don't care what. One, two, three. That's better. Woo! There we go. Okay, take your Bibles out. If you guys have your Bibles, wave them in the air like you just don't care. Beautiful, 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 beautiful. iPads are good. Why didn't you open that Bible to Acts chapter 17? Acts chapter 17, and we're going to read from there in a moment. First, let me pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll come. May you speak to us tonight as we try and learn more about you. Whatever is from you, may it stick. Whatever is not from you, Father, may that be dissolved in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, okay, so we're going to be talking about God's self-existence. Say yay. A lot of you may be saying God's what? Okay, this is basically God's independence, which basically means it's how God doesn't need anything to exist, which basically means that God doesn't need you, and God doesn't need me, and God doesn't need us to exist. If we died right now, God will not cease being God. God will continue being God. God is completely independent, okay? One thing that I've noticed is that many people on this earth want to be independent, all right? I'm sure you guys want to be independent from your parents. Anyone? Anyone want to be independent from their parents? Holla, there we go, holla. For those of you who don't, I feel very sorry for you because it would suck when you're 40 years old and you're still with your parents, you know? And then, you know, you go up to your friends and you're like, hey, do you want to come sleep over? My parents said I can stay up till 12 since I'm 40, you know? My curfew's been extended. Okay, that you don't want that to happen. You want to become independent from your parents as soon as you can. All right. So I started thinking about all the times as youth when we start feeling independent. And I realized there's one time in particular where you kind of think that you are actually the best thing since sliced bread. And that's when you get your first cell phone. Who remembers their first cell phone? Hala. The Nokia 3310, baby. Nokia 3310. That thing was amazing. You with me? That thing was incredible. I love the Nokias. So today I started researching. Today I started researching Nokias. The Nokia 3310. It was amazing. This is what I found out. I need you guys to, you guys need to focus here. The Nokia 3310. Its key features included 37 ringtones.
Oh, it's gonna get hot in here.
It consisted of a 5-line monochromatic screen, which means it's practically nothing and it's colorless. But we really loved it. All right. Okay. It supported SMS. Woo! You gotta remember those days. I felt so special when I got an SMS. I was like, somebody loves me. It had 4 hours of talking battery time. It had a clock and an alarm. All right. And then, last but not least, it had the almighty Snake 2. I tell you, many an hour was wasted on Snake 2. Woo! Do you know on YouTube, if it's buffering and you press down, you can start playing Snake? Worth some spiritual advice for you guys. It's pretty incredible. I still remember, we ate it up. We loved this Nokia. It was incredible. I had friends that I would walk up to and say, what's the time? They had a massive watch on the arm and they'll be like, hold on. The time is 10 past 10. Because, you know, it was like the size of a brick. That thing was huge. It's 10 past 10. And I was like, okay, great. Thanks so much. Back then, when your cell phone rang in church, it was cool because you had a cell phone. You know, they were like, oh my word, it's ringing. Oh my word, he has a cell phone. I want to be his friend. Hi, what's up? You know, that's kind of how it went back then. I was one of those incredibly, something about a Nokia 3310. You know, if there was a nuclear explosion, they say the only two things that would survive are cockroaches and the Nokia 3310. Also, I have an iPhone, all right, which I'm incredibly blessed to have. If I were to drop this on the ground, my screen would break. If I dropped the Nokia 3310 on the ground, the floor would break. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I need this wall demolished, or whatever you call it, demolished. That's cool, I got my Nokia 3310. There we go. All done. Sorted. I was very unfortunate. I didn't get a Nokia 3310. I felt very sad. But I got an Alcatel, baby. Okay, and my Alcatel had polyphonic ringtones. Whoa. Do you know what the difference is? We should have a sound there. Do you have the monophonic Nokia ringtone? It's about 3 seconds. Let's just... What is that? That was the Nokia 3310. Listen to my Alcatel. Charge that. There we go. Oh. That was amazing. I was like, that thing is incredible. I felt so independent. I was like, I can SMS my friends without even talking to my mom and without asking her for my phone. I was 12 years old and I was cool. I was like, woo, that's when I started becoming cool, when I got my Alcatel. I was like, this is amazing. Or what about when, who's driving? Any drivers? Yeah. What about the first time you drove? You were like, freedom! Like, this is amazing. I still remember I drove my freedom right into the pole. And when I hit that pole, my mom was like, what the heck are you doing? And I was like, yes, that was me. I drove into that pole. No one else. I independently drove into that pole. I'm amazing. Okay, I didn't really think that. I was like petrified my dad was going to rain hell on me. Anyways, I still remember when I first got my license, I woke up, had an extra long quiet time because you need a pass. So Anyways, so I had one and I ended up passed, and I still remember driving away and being like, yes, please. I'm a licensed boy. I can go in. Let me go to Cape Town. And then you see, you put in petrol and you're like, let's not go to Cape Town. Let's just go to KFC. You know, like, it's a bit better. You know, we'll just watch the beach on TV instead of actually going there. But anyways, that's besides the point. I felt incredibly independent. One more story. And, we're all friends here tonight, eh? I can expose myself to you guys, can I? Can I be vulnerable with you guys? There we go. There we go. That convinced me right there. I wasn't going to do it, but you convinced me. So I get asked this question a lot as a youth pastor. Is it okay to drink alcohol, you know, and get drunk or whatever while you a Christian or whatever? Let me just say, just quickly, it's not. It's a sin if you get drunk, etc. But I get asked that a lot, and that's in Ephesians. Hold on. If you need to, I just need to prove that to you guys. Ephesians 5 verse 18 says that. Anyways, so this may come as a shock to you guys, but brace yourself. I haven't always been perfect. there were times in my life where, you know, I made a mistake. I know there's a girl in the back or a guy, they're like crying. I'm like, I can't believe it. He's not perfect. No, I'm joking. I'm not perfect. Any perfect people here tonight? Liar, 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 liar. None of us are perfect. Anyways, so I wasn't perfect. And there was a time in my life when I was 15 and I wasn't following Jesus maybe the way that I should. And I went to a friend's house and his parents were out of town and things like that. And he came up to me and he said to me, look at this. And he was holding in his hand a green bottle. And it looked fairly interesting. Okay. And at that time I was like, it looks so pretty. I was like, what is that? It looks pretty. And I kind of thought about my forefathers, Adam and Eve, who ate of the sinful fruit. And I was like, I don't know, maybe, I'm not quite sure. Anyways, like I said, I wasn't exactly loving Jesus the way that I should have. And I was kind of like, hey, you know, let me try this stuff. And I tasted it and it tasted like apple. And I was like, this seems amazing. This is a nice apple drink. You know, it's really cool. And he brought out some other stuff. And then, you know, the next thing I know, I was mildly tipsy. So I told you, I'm being vulnerable with you guys here tonight. I was mildly tipsy, and I still remember I stood up at a specific point. It was only like three or four of us, and I started dancing. I mean, I didn't think I could dance, but that night proved it. I was like, there we go, boy. I'm a dancer. I've missed my calling in life. But I still remember waking up the next day, and you know, if you have a drink of something, what happens up the next day is you get something called a hangover. Anyone ever heard of that? Okay. And at that point, I thought one thing. I thought this independence sucks. I was like, independence sucks. I was like, I'm stupid. I don't know what I'm doing. I went home. I told my dad. My dad loved me. He cared for me. He restored me. And he was like, Brad, I completely forgive you, because I grew up in a house where you're like, you do not drink, all right? Or else, I don't know, you'll go to hell on the spot or something like that. But I was like, and my dad forgave me, and I got to a point where I was like, I will never, ever do that again. And from that day, when I was 15, I have never bought alcohol. I have never gone anywhere close to alcohol. It happened once. And that's why I feel like I can share it with you guys. And it's not a license, not because Brad's done it, what? No. It was sinful. But the thing is, I realized my dependence sucks. And I was like, I'm so dependent on my parents' advice. If I was left to my own devices, I would stuff up my life. I would have stuffed up my life, and I'd be a completely different guy now. I was dependent on my parents. I'm dependent on oxygen. I'm dependent on food, water. I'm dependent on everything. And if you took those things away from me, Brad, as you know it, will cease to exist. It's the exact same thing with you. If you took all those things away from you, all your basic needs, you will cease to exist. You are not independent. You will never be independent. You are dependent from the day that you are born till the day you die. And that's why this is such a weird trait of God to understand. Because we haven't even seen it. We've never seen independence. Yet God is independent, 100%. I know so many people, they are depending on their circumstances. They're depending on their parents. They're depending on other people. They're depending from a word of God to start doing something, to start changing something, to start praying more. Stop putting your dependence on situations and start putting your dependence on the one who is independent. God is 100% fully and always will be independent. In short, that means this, that God doesn't need us. Oof, sounds like a punch in the face, doesn't it? I still remember the first time I heard that. I was like, what do you mean God doesn't need me? I was like, of course he needs me. God doesn't need me. And if Brad ceased existing, God will continue existing just fine. If you removed creation from Creator, Creator will not stop being Creator. He will still be and forever will be. No matter what happens, he's independent on whatever happens. Bible says this, Acts 17, 24 to 25. The God who made the world and everything in it, the Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples built by humans. It's not where he lives. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. So basically, first thing is this. God doesn't need us. It's quite a punch in the face. Second thing is that you can't repay God for anything he's done for you. I've seen so many people that are like, if I'm just a good person, you know, cross the granny over the street, tell my mom I love her, you know, treat everyone well, I'll go to heaven. You cannot repay God for your sinful nature. You can't repay God for anything. Okay, the Bible says this. Where is this? God asks Job at one point in the Bible, and he says this, who has given to me that I should repay him? Whatever is under the whole heaven is mine. I can't give God the shirt. It's his. I can't give him my money. It's his. Everything that I have been given is from God. I cannot repay God. Third thing is this, God didn't create people because he was lonely. Okay, some people say that's why God created people. That is not even close, because if God did that because he was lonely, that would mean that God needed us to feel full. God did not create people because he was lonely. In the Bible, Jesus speaks to his Father in John 17, 24, and he says this, my glory which you have given me in your love, for me before the foundations of the world. God gave Jesus glory and love before we even existed, which means he was talking to Jesus before we even existed, which means he was happy and he was not lonely before we existed. Fourth, why did God create us? Because he willed it. Revelations 4:11, for God created all things and by your will they existed and were created. Number five, his independence is also seen in what he says of himself. He says that, I am what I am, to Moses in Exodus 3 verse 14. God is what he is, and nothing that you do will change what he is. And if you cease to exist, he will carry on being who he is. And who he was and who he is has nothing to do with anything that we can do. Okay? Once I learned all this, I was kind of like, so basically I have no reason for existing. God doesn't need me. God didn't create me because he was lonely. Why the heck am I alive? Why? Here's the cool thing about God that I figured out, is that God doesn't need us, but he chose us. God doesn't need you, but he chose you. And that should do something to you. God doesn't need us, but he chose us. Throughout the Bible, we see that when Israel's sinning again and again and again, God chooses them again and again and again. And the Bible says that we are here to bring God glory, which means this. If you become a Christian and you spend eternal life with God, you're going to bring him glory. If you're not a Christian, the Bible says that you're going to go to the lake of fire, which Jesus speaks about. You'll go to the lake of fire, and the fact that you going there and you weren't a Christian shows God's perfect anger, which we're going to speak about in a couple of weeks. It shows God's perfect anger, and that brings him glory. Whether you go to heaven, it brings him glory. Whether you go to hell, it brings him glory. Everything brings him glory. Does that make sense? Because he is glorious. And God has created us to glorify him. He chose us. 1 John 4 verse 10, and I'm almost done, says this. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. He chose us. We didn't choose him. You see, and for me, that makes all the difference to me, because I started seeing value and the fact that I'm dependent and I can't do much. But there is an independent God who chose me. Have any of you ever been on a sports field and been chosen last? I'm here to tell you that no matter how you're feeling, or no matter if you feel like you've been chosen last, or you feel like no one cares, or you feel like, you know, you don't know where you're going with your life, no matter what situation you are in, there is an independent God that is choosing dependent people. And he is saying that I want you, no matter if no one else wants you, I want to choose you. I have chosen you. I've sent my son. You can live for me. You can glorify me. Amen? God has chosen you. God can change the city with a rock if he wanted to, but he chose people. He's chosen Elijah. He's chosen Elisha. He's chosen depressed. He has chosen the most messed up, stuffed up people in the Bible. And he has chosen you, an independent God, choosing dependent people. That is the true measure of love. That someone who doesn't even need you chose you because he loves you. I have never in all my experience as a human being ever heard of a greater love than that. I'm a dependent people who loves dependent people. I'm dependent and I love other people that are dependent. There we go. Come on, I was making a point there. God is independent and he loves dependent people. I wonder if the band can come up. Ephesians 1 verse 4 to 6 is this. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to the sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us, the one he loves. Tonight, I want to encourage you guys. Band come up, cool. Tonight, I want to encourage you guys. I wrote this down for you guys. I want to encourage you to stop putting your faith in the dependence of yourself. Stop putting your faith in the dependence of your circumstance and start putting it in the independent God. Your school, your family, everything in your life, stop trusting in yourself. Stop trusting in an independent God. Does that make sense? For me, I said to my leadership team this week, I said to them, don't put your faith in your faith. I said, don't put your faith in yourself. I said, because both those things fail. Don't put your faith in your feelings, because one day you're happy, one day you're sad. I said, put your faith in the one who's faithful. And I said, and if you do that, your faith will never fail you, because his faith never fails. Father God, I pray that you'll be with us here tonight. Father God, I thank you, God, that you are independent of us. Father God, that you still choose to love us. Father God, I pray that tonight, Lord, as we walk out of here and as we've just seen you and just been able to look at you and who you are, Father God, that we can praise you and we can thank you that you're magnificent and yet you've still chosen to love us. Father God, I thank you that you sent your son Jesus Christ to die for dependent people. We worship you, Lord. I want you to keep your eyes closed. If you're here tonight and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm here to tell you that there is a God who chose you, died on the cross for you, that you may live an eternal life with him. And if you don't, the punishment that they say that you receive is death, eternal separation from God. You were born sinful. But God has sent Jesus Christ to pay for your sins. If you want to accept Jesus Christ here tonight, you've never accepted Him before, and you're like, I need a change, I need to start trusting in an independent God. Naturally, while your eyes are closed, I just want you to stick up your hand very quickly. That's all I need you to do. Thank you, I see that hand. I wonder if some of the leaders could just look around and go pray for people. You want to put your trust in an independent God? Thank you, I see that hand. You want to put your trust in an independent God? Stick up your hand right now. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Don't be shy. This, thank you, thank you. This is just between you and God. Don't get distracted. Keep your hand up until the leader comes. For the rest of us, if you feel like, I don't know, Brad hasn't really chatted to me today. He hasn't really told me what God wants to do with me or to me. That's the point. This series, all I want to do is show you who God is and say if you knew who God was, you understood His power and how His plan always comes to being, your life will change. And I want to encourage you to make it here every week. Because this is the most important thing you could ever know. That there is a God who is magnificent and perfect, and He chose us. We're going to sing a song now. One of you guys can stand. And this song for me completely speaks about this preach. It says, this is love. This is love that Jesus chose us. I need you guys to keep focused. That verse says, this is love. Not that we chose God, but that He chose us. And we're going to go into a time of worship. I want to encourage you, don't be distracted. Don't talk to your friends. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Shh. Don't be distracted. Father God, we come before You, God, and we look at a magnificent God. And Father God, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for who You are and for everything that You've done for us. Father God, we stand. We want to worship You. We want to praise You. Why don't you give God a hand? He's magnificent.
Thank you for listening to the Fusion Podcast. If you've been impacted by this message or others, share your story with us on our My Story page. Join us next week for the next message in this series.